Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
We're just trying to get it together, trying to help their fellow man, hoping we can make it.
All right. Well, we think we can, and that's why we're here. And that's why we have Blog Talk Radio. And that's why we have guests who will come and talk honestly about their lives and their faith and how it fits in or doesn't fit in to the things they're doing in the world. And all of that stuff. It's very, very interesting and exciting conversations that we have here. And so I'm really glad you have joined us. And you will especially enjoy this episode with our good friend, Pam Mark Hall. Now, of course, I've known Pam for many years, going back to the early 70s. When we met at Peninsula Bible Church in Palo Alto, and Pam was one of the initial people I was running into who was writing music of faith that was contemporary in nature, and it was all experimental. No one ever done it before, and yet it's like we all got the memo at the same time, and everybody started doing it. And so it was a very, very exciting time to be alive and to keep running into all this new music and experimental stretching things that people were doing, and risky things because of some of the more conservative element of the church that we all kind of came out of. So it was very interesting times. And then Pam had an early career in her music, and even spent time in Nashville and did a number of albums. And then she's done a number of things since then, just maintaining her life and maintaining what it takes to continue to take care of a family and to live and to progress and hopefully hold on to your faith. And Pam's been through some difficult, very difficult times, and apparently she's been thinking about those a lot lately and tending to write about it. So that's really kind of exciting. We'd like to hear tonight some of that and some of what has kind of spurred her on. The thing I like about Pam is she never stops learning. She never stops pursuing new things and new ideas. And so that's what will make this conversation exciting. She's doing a lot of reading and looking forward to writing. So she comes to us, lives in the Oroville area in California, but right now she's up in Washington visiting with a good friend. So, Pam, thanks for stopping what you were doing and able to take this phone call and talk to us a little bit. Welcome back to Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, John. And it was interesting listening to your description of me. But I have a lot of, as you were introducing me, I had a lot of thoughts that came to my mind that I wanted to share. And but I also want to say that feel free, I don't want this to be a monologue. Feel free to jump in and ask me questions. But I think I'd like to start out with my favorite theologian. Now, she's not really a theologian, but as I look back on my life and the books that I kept going back to and the resonance that I felt in their spiritual world is Madeline Lingle. And if I could summarize who represents best my theology, it would be Madeline Lingle, C.S. Lewis, and a woman that you may not know of, but her name is Elizabeth O'Connor. And I still feel comfortable with them. And I will say the primary reason is Madeline Lingle lifted from Emerson a statement, "Do I dare disturb the universe?" And the whole concept is that the questions are more important than the answers. And that has always been, it's been a thorn in my side all my life in some ways of, I just don't want to let it lie. I want to probe. I want to ask the question. And then if I believe something is true, or I've been told something is true, then I want to ask penetrating questions. And I would have to say that's the one characteristic or quality I passed on to my daughter as well, is, you know, when she was going to a Christian elementary school and they were teaching her about the truth of the Bible. And it's the only class she's always gotten straight A's and everything. That Bible class is the only class in her life where she got a C. And because I taught her how to ask questions, she'd come home and say, "Mom, they only give one answer, and one answer is allowed." And so I guess that has been the underlying drive in my life, is to understand, and that the longing continues. You know, I long to understand, but I also don't believe I or any other human are fully capable of understanding the truth. I believe that truth is truth, and my belief in that truth does not change what it is. I believe that I have my concept of what I understand about God, but that understanding is not God. God is beyond understanding. Does that make sense? So, you know, I feel like I'm on this tight wire of knowing and not knowing, that I don't think that I can come to a completed state of I absolutely know, even though I absolutely believe there is truth. So it's a conundrum.
Yeah.
It's a conundrum.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. It's a, well, it's a little echoed in that U2 song, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." That,
yes.
It disappointed a lot of Christians, but didn't bother me at all. Because
I wrote a song called "The Longing," and one of the, I guess you could call it agnostic. See, but I don't believe agnostic means you don't believe. I think it's much more. Well, let me just say. So, once I caught a glimpse of heaven, the Father and the Son, tried to paint it all by number to display for everyone. But when I finally caught that image, the way that it appeared, the moment that I caught it, I saw it fade and disappear, leaving me alone, hungering for more. And that's been my whole life of pursuing God. And I don't think that implies that there's no intimacy if you can't just replicate every moment. I feel that every day is a new day, and God is God.
Mm.
Anyway, that's pretty deep. That's what I was intending to.
I want to turn you on to a new book by our friend Oz Guinness, who we've had here a number of times. And actually, he was to be my guest last week, and we got our time zones mixed up. So he'll be coming on in the future, but he's going to be talking about this book called The Great Quest. And that's what he's talking about. And he's talking about the search for meaning and for truth and what we can know, what we can't know, the process by which we go through. Very interesting. It's a very short book, especially for Oz. He writes usually very long books. And this is just a little over 100 pages. But you're right in line with, some of the greats who are doing the same kind of thinking. And I'm with you 100%. I think we err way too far on the side of trying to simplify answers and trying to get God down where we can, pass him on to other people. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Well, that kind of leads into where you were wanting to go with, my history within the church and the evangelical movement.
Uh-huh.
And and why I'm writing my memoirs. And my primary motivation is to leave crumbs on the trail for my daughter. If I'm not looking at this to publish it, I'm wanting to leave a storyline with my daughter, and also it's not just my life, but her ancestors. I'm pulling in things that I'm discovering about my ancestors, and I believe that there is, we're finding out more and more what's embedded in our DNA, and what is embedded in our personalities that is ancestral. Now, that raises the whole question: is it genetics or is it environment? What is it? I think it's all of the above. In the same kind of way that it's kind of like the question of God's will, what is God's will? I've come to God's will is for me to embrace, to long for what God has created us to be and to welcome God into the choices that I make, and that is God's will, to be inclusive of, it's reflected in the fruits of the Spirit, faith, hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just went blank. Peace,
that's
love, cool. Joy, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I believe that the fruits of the Spirit are the fruit, are the proof of my faith, not my words.
Mm-hmm.
It's my life. Because words can be, you could disagree with me about what this word means, what word that means, but can you disagree with me if I hand you a cup of cold water in Jesus' name? Now, that's not love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting all over the place. I'm sorry. So back to my story. The two things that prompted me, and one was, I was interviewed by this woman couple of years ago that was posted in some Christian publication, and when I read it, I just cringed because it told my story of, you know, how I went through divorce and how this and how the church treated me and, you know, all the anger that I felt. I don't diminish the anger that I felt. It's mm-hmm. just that part of the story that was missing. I've done a lot of work in therapy, in prayer, in reading, in dealing with what's my part in all this? You know, what's my part? Well, I, in retrospect, can see that much of what I experienced as personal wounding was a much, much bigger issue, you know, within the context of the church in terms of the view of women's roles, in the terms of a lot of things that mm-hmm. were put off on God so that, men didn't have to take responsibility for some of their decisions or behavior. And of course, I and other women were wounded by that. And yet, at this point in my life, in retrospect, it was a part of a bigger picture, you know, a part of understanding on part of Christians and the church of roles for women. And also for me of accepting my role of I made choices. I made choice to participate. Yes, I may have been a victim, but I made choices in moving ahead. And so anyway, to summarize, I've done a lot of work in forgiving not only the people who hurt me, but forgiving myself. And what I gave you that quote of accepting the choices of letting go of the past and also transforming the pain of impermanence into creativity and transcendence. That's from a book by Susan Cain from Bittersweet. It talks about, you know, the usefulness of pain in our lives. And that, you know, in the American society right now, you know, it's so driven by, let's say, Joel Osteen, that kind of positivity, name it, claim it. And then on the secular side of, okay, 10 steps to X. We don't want to embrace the pain. But I can really attest to that I have. And it wasn't pretty. It was messy. That article that I read, that I had given the interview, I wasn't using the right language. It made me sound like I'm still sitting there in anger. No, I'm not. No. So how I am trying to find a new way of expressing, you know, what my life has been and to reveal the beauty in it. Because there's been so much beauty. And I want that to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah, when we talked earlier a little bit, Pam, you mentioned about how you were learning. Well, you're talking about it right here. And so maybe I'm just asking you to go a little bit deeper into it. But how you can turn the pain of the past into something that's actually useful for you for the rest of your life. I may not have said that right, but could you talk a little more about that idea?
Okay. So I journal every day, you know, and it's, and when I say I journal, I mean, I flow of conscious. So, I mean, I have a bookshelf full of my journals. I mean, back from even when I was at PBC.
Wow.
During the rough times of my marriage and what I went through in the divorce and what I went through in the aftermath. And so as I am moving forward and I'm creating this breadcrumb trail, you know, for my daughter. And I come place, all right, how did I get from there to here? And what was my mindset back then? And understanding the choices that I made, I can look back and say, you know, if I were back then and didn't know what I know now, I would have made the same decisions because it's about reference, you know, and your, how you view yourself in the world. And so part of it is identifying the points of trauma. I think that I suffered from PTSD for many years from some of those experiences. And I can get in a situation and be triggered, and I will feel exactly what I felt back then. But I'm able now to go, oh, wow, why am I so upset? Why do I hurt? And I can remember what happened. And then I go through a process in my mind of speaking forgiveness to that person, of speaking forgiveness to myself for sometimes I put myself in that situation, or maybe I didn't speak up for myself in that situation. You know, it's all about taking responsibility for self, that that I was responsible for me then, and I made that choice. It didn't turn out the way I'd hoped, but I have the opportunity to take that, speak forgiveness to it, and then inform who I am right now into how I wish to make choices right now. And then I will continue in my journaling with ways that I could take that, how I can make a different choice, how I can react differently. And I might paint something, or I might go sit at the piano and play. So, I mean, it's pretty low tech, but I think the basis of it is assuming responsibility for who I was then and who I am now.
Wow.
I hope that didn't disappoint you.
No, that's very helpful. Very helpful. So tell me, where are you going with this now in the future? What are you working on right now? Maybe what are you reading? Where are you being stretched right now?
What I'm being stretched by?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope I'm not disappointing you with this, with no big plans, but my primary focus right now is the small details of my life. I'm not looking like how I'm going to go out and change the world. I'm looking at how can I change my world. And that means, this is going to sound really stupid, John, that means going to bed at 9 o'clock and getting up at 5 and journaling for an hour or two and doing push-ups and sit-ups and making my bed and, you know, creating order in my life. As an artist, you know this. It's so easy to think, well, I'm the artist and I really don't have to pay attention to all that, you know.
Right.
All the day-to-day kind of stuff. It'll just, you know, it'll happen. I'm really focusing on trying to harness discipline, both in my personal life and in my writing.
Wow.
And
good for you. Wow.
And then with reading with my books, you know, I read with a notebook and I, you know, take notes. I use this really great app called Day One. Are you familiar with it?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, check it out because it calls itself a journal, but you can use it for a filing system for everything. So, you know, you pull it up on a date and you can select a journal you want to have in there. So I have one that's just called journal. And, okay, so I wrote this on October 28th about the autobiography of Alice B. Toklas by Gertrude Stein. I say, I wish I'd read this in my 20s when the feminist movement was just taking hold, but I was a Jesus freak and did not turn to worldly sources. I turned to Jesus for my view of myself as a woman. I still agree with how I think Jesus viewed women, but the born-again movement preached one thing and acted another way in terms of men dominating women. More on that later. And then...
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just getting little, this gives me snippets that I can pull if I want to integrate it into my memoirs.
So you're just working, you really are dropping crumbs.
I am dropping crumbs. Yeah. And then, you know, I'm also still doing insurance during fourth quarter that I help employees understand what their insurance options are. So, yeah, a little tent making.
Yeah, that's important, very important. Yeah, wow. Well, and then there's the music, which I may have been diminished somewhat. I don't know where. You know, one thing I do, though, I don't want to let our listeners know about your latest CD, because that was a wonderful project. And
thank you.
I don't think it's gotten the attention it should, but I want to encourage anybody listening to this. Yeah,
I've got 500 CD copies in my closet. I'd really like to get to people. So, you know,
there you go.
I'm not sure how to do that.
Well, how can we do that? How can we help you? Where should they go? Pam Mark, have you got it? Your website? Go to your website?
It's on my website, yeah.
Okay.
PamMarkHall.com.
Yep.
They can go to the store. It's called Mangle the Tango.
Mango the Tango. And yeah. you can order it there?
You could order it there, yeah. And Noel Paul Stuckey sings on it. Peter Yarrow sings on it. Bruce Coburn sings on it.
Yeah, there's some great songs.
So, which ones do you like?
Well, I like the Harriet Tubman song.
Oh, yeah. I love that song.
I wish it had made it into the movie, because it would have been great.
It would have been great.
Oh, yeah. It would have been a great one at the very end, in the trailer, as you're leaving the theater.
That would have been good, yes.
Yeah.
I would, if I came back, if I died and come back, I want to be a film composer. I really do.
Mm. Cool.
I'd love to do that now. And as a matter of fact, as I'm writing my memoir, I'm going to treat it like a movie, and I'm going to create music to support it.
Good.
So Again,
oh, great.
I'm just doing this for me. If anybody else wants it after I'm done, great. But it's too stressful to think, oh, I'm going to make this happen. And
yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Yeah. You're just doing it because it's there and there to be done. And you want to stretch your life. You want to leave something to your daughter. That's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Would that we all, you know, could live more like that too, and rather than having to try to justify everything, versus just being who we are and living creatively. Who cares whether anybody sees it or not? You know.
Right, and creativity can be expressed in so many ways. I mean, I have my biggest joy in life right now are my birds, my hummingbirds and my goldfinch and, you know, my flowers on the deck. And
that's beautiful.
I'm happy with my life. Oh, and we didn't talk about my parents, and you want them to ask boomers and their parents. And
well,
I'll just say quickly because we're about out of time.
Saying about you and your dad, because this we're basically, you know, in our last couple minutes, so that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, all I was going to say was that we weren't trained to deal with this. We weren't prepared. None of us are prepared for what is involved in caring for a parent. And I will say that my relationship has improved with my father as I've stopped trying to manage everything for him. You know, if he wants to get on the ladder and fall, he's going to get on the ladder and fall, you know, and I diminish him whenever I say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not just saying let him do whatever he's going to do, but I have shifted to you're on your own. You can take care of you. I'm here. I'm always here. If you need help with anything, ask me. It's so much nicer that way. Now, I know that if the parent becomes senile or demented, that's more difficult. You know, then the rules change. But I think this is speaking more to the transitional stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's partly, you know, accepting that there will be a passing. There will be a death.
Yeah.
And you want that to be the best quality possible.
Yeah. Well, Pam, you said that in the past your relationship with your father has been really difficult, but now it's better. Can you attribute the change to anything?
Oh boy, yeah. it's more of my psychobabble stuff, John. You know, that I have recognized when I get my feelings hurt by him because he will say things that make me think that he values everyone else around him but me. And I have recognized, I've identified that trigger goes all the way back to my relationship with my real father. This is my stepfather that I'm dealing with. And so, you know, it's just part of looking at your life and going, okay, well, why did I pick that relationship? Well, you're duplicating what feels normal or natural because of the relationship you had with your father. And, you know, I could just see my whole life, and this also ties into my relationship with God, my desperate need to be affirmed and told by my father what a precious, pretty little girl I was. And it's when I got in the church that I began getting that kind of affirmation. So when I have conflict with my stepdad because I feel like he doesn't value me, I can tell myself, all right, back away, just back away, because that hurt goes all the way back to your childhood. What just happened right here and now, you know, you're bringing all your past to this little incident right here. So it's, I'm learning how to avoid the triggers, you know. So if he wants to compliment the our housekeeper, the girl, the lady who fixed him dinner, and he compliments her and doesn't compliment me, or it says, complain something about her, and he wants me to come into the dig, and I say, that's all on you. I have nothing to do with it. She's your responsibility. I can back out, you know, but it's amazing how I think sometimes we don't consciously know we're doing it, but we know when someone has a trigger, and we just poke it, right? Well, you know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
Avoid it. Just avoid it.
Mm.
You know, when that starts, I say, you need some more ice for your drink. So, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that sounds really simple.
Which, yeah.
But.
Yeah. Cool. Switch the subject. Distract to something else. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. Well, I'm glad that, but you guys are getting along now much better.
Oh, yeah. So,
that's sweet.
We are.
That's great. Wow. Well, Pam, this has been fun. It's been encouraging to see how God continues to open up vistas for us. And I think if anything that sticks with me, it's that whole idea of the question and the quest that is never over. And I'm thinking of, you know, when Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock in Matthew, those verbs really say, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. That's what they really say. And so
he's saying, go disturb the universe.
This,
yeah.
What did you say?
Go disturb
the universe.
Yeah, go forth and disturb the universe. That's right.
Okay. Hey, that's it. There you go. Pam, that's fantastic. Okay.
All right.
Thanks for spending some time with us tonight. I appreciate it. And
you're
always
welcome.
Always great. Yeah.
Much love to Marty.
Okay. I will.
You take
care. All right.
You too, John. Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. There you go, folks. Did you get it? Go disturb the universe.
Connecting life to faith.
I love it.
Just trying to get it together.
We're just
trying to help their fellow
man. Another episode of Talk to You.
Hoping we can make